Goswami. Whenever Parikshit Maharaj is asking something, Ashutosh Goswami. Whenever Vidur Muni asks anything from Maitreya Muni, before they ask a question, or before they invite those great personalities for the Katha, they glorify them. So whenever any speaker comes, it's our duty to glorify them, not simply to introduce them. Because they will introduce themselves when they start the Katha. A fool is recognized as soon as he speaks. So a great person will be recognized as soon as he starts speaking. Right? That's good or bad? Did I say something wrong, Prabhuji?
No. You're very good.
So all the devotees know about His Grace Devaki Prabhu. But just to tell again, the Devaki Prabhu, His Grace Devaki Prabhu is a very, very senior disciple, or I think he's the first disciple of His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. He took Diksha from Maharaj somewhere in 1991. He has been in Krishna consciousness for nearly last 25 years. He is based in Singapore. He gives very nice classes on the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as you know that he has got several CDs. He does a very, very nice kirtan. He plays all sorts of musical instruments. After Guru Maharaj departed for Golok Vrindavan, Maharaj has entrusted him with the responsibility to look after all the congregation of Maharaj wherever they are in the world. And Prabhuji is doing all that job very fantastically. And as we said on Maharaj Pushpanjali Day, that whenever now we have the speaker, we'll glorify the speaker by reciting any one of us from Bhagavatam. We did the same thing when Gauranga Prabhu was here. Now we have His Grace Devaki Prabhu here. So in His glorification, I would like to recite one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is one of the verses which Maharaj liked very much. And this verse is from 3rd Canto, chapter number 28, and number is 2nd. And the verse goes like that. Swadharma charanam shaktya vidharmat cha nivartanam daivat labdhena santosha atmavit charanarchanam. Lord Kapila is giving the instruction of the devotion service to his mother Devuti. And the first thing he is telling about the devotee, that the devotees, they do the three things. First thing, swadharma charanam shaktya. Shaktya means to their best capacity, they try to perform, they try to fulfill their duties, their varnashrama duties. So now in case of Prabhuji, he has got a wife, so he has got a duty as a husband, he has got two children, he has got a duty as a father, he has got a spiritual master, he has got a duty as a disciple, he has got his own office, he has a duty to work as a, you know, as a partner, he has a congregation, so it's a duty as a leader to look after the congregation. After Maharaj left, he has a duty to look after all those congregations. Not only that, Maharaj has entrusted him to develop the Rajkot temple, complete the Rajkot temple project, continue to look after the Dwarka project, the Dwarka temple, and start working on the Panvel project. And Prabhuji, I can tell you, Prabhuji, I have seen Prabhuji, whatever little I could see him, he is amazing. His potency, his capacity is just amazing. His body is not material, his body is simply transcendental. Ooh. He can just live with 2 hours, 3 hours sleep with very little food and all. That's what I have seen. So he is doing pakka on this thing. So dharma acharyana. Second thing, daivat labdhena santosha. That you be satisfied whatever Krishna has given you. Many years back, I know Prabhuji was having a nice job, but Maharaj told him that maybe give up this job, start your own business. And I am always scared to start my own practice with a lot of risk are there. But Prabhuji, he simply took Maharaj's instruction to his heart and immediately started his business. And now I know that his partner is doing, he is not doing very well. His health is not very good. And imagine how much pressure Prabhuji has taken in last 1 year and even before that also, particularly last 1 year. And the third thing, Atmavit Charnarchanam. Atmavit means a spiritual master. Charnarchanam. That the third quality of a devotee is that he always worships the lotus feet of the spiritual master. I have never seen him. I never saw that Devaki Prabhu has worshipped the lotus feet of the Guru Maharaj. I never saw him that he performed the arti. Never saw him that he offered any flower to Guru Maharaj. But here, worshipping the lotus feet means that he puts the instructions of the spiritual master through his heart. And that's what Devaki Prabhu has done. So we are really fortunate to have him now with us, to have the Katha and Kirtan. We are fortunate to have him yesterday evening, this morning, this afternoon. So we would like to welcome him by chanting three times Hare Krishna, very sincerely, very lovingly, praying to Krishna that Krishna gave him more and more immense strength to fulfill Maharaj's desires. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai.
Jai Shri Mahavishnu Goswami Gurudev ki
Jai.
At this rate, Prabhus and Matajis, I will just end up in the hellish regions, because all this glorification is very dangerous for a devotee. But Swayam Prabhu is very kind, you know. Whatever he has spoken about, the only thing that is absolutely true is the glories of Maharaj. Jai Shri Pupa. So let us chant Jai Radha Madhava. Sorry we came a bit late. There were some matters to be settled. We don't like to keep the devotees waiting. Do we have... It's really nice to see everyone. I don't know how to describe to you, but I always look forward to coming to Abu Dhabi. Because in Abu Dhabi, the standard of devotional service, the consciousness that all of you have, is very rare to find anywhere else in the world. Really. You should just continue this way. This is the mercy of Rupad and Maharaj and all of you. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Yeah.
Mother ki
Jai
Jai Shri Krishna Balaram ki
Jai
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai
Jai Shri Gurudev ki
Jai
Thai Gura Premanand
Hari Hari Hari
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya translation and purport from the 11th chapter entitled Universal Form, and the chapter will be 11 and the text is 12. 11-12. Let us look at this verse. Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Bhaved Yugapat Uttitha
Bhaved Yugapat Uttitha
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
Samprabhus
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
One more Prabhu
Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
When I said Prabhu, I meant someone older. Then when I saw his moustache, I realized that he's in the category of adult. Mataji, please.
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Bhaved
Yugapat Uttita
Yadi Bhasadrishi
Sasya
Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha
Divi Surya Sahasrasya
Bhaved Yugapat Uttita
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasya
Tatasya Mahatmanah.
Divi.
Divi.
In the sky.
In the sky.
Surya.
Surya.
Of suns.
Of suns.
Sahasrasya.
Sahasrasya.
Of many thousands.
Of many thousands.
Bhave.
Bhave.
There were.
Yugapat.
Yugapat. Simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
Uttita.
Uttita.
Present.
Present.
Yadi.
Yadi.
If.
If.
Bhaha.
Light.
Sadrishi.
Sadrishi.
Like that. Sa.
Sa.
That.
Syat.
Might be.
Might be.
Bhashaha.
Bhashaha.
Effulgence. Tasya.
Tasya.
Of him.
Of him.
Mahatmanaha.
Mahatmanaha.
Great Lord.
Great.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Please repeat. If hundreds of thousands of suns,
if hundreds of thousands of suns
were to rise,
were to rise
at once into the sky,
at once into the sky,
their radiance,
their radiance
might resemble,
might resemble
the effulgence of the Supreme Person,
the effulgence of the Supreme Person
in that universal form.
In that universal form.
Please hear the purport. What Arjuna saw was indescribable. Yet Sanjaya is trying to give a mental picture of that great revelation to Dhritarashtra. Neither Sanjaya nor Dhritarashtra was present, but Sanjaya, by the grace of Vyasa, could see whatever happened. Thus, he now compares the situation, as far as it can be understood, to an imaginable phenomenon, that is, thousands of suns. I'll read the purport again. It's very short but very instructive. What Arjuna saw was indescribable. Yet, Sanjaya is trying to give a mental picture of that great revelation to Dhritarashtra. Neither Sanjaya nor Dhritarashtra was present, but Sanjaya, by the grace of Vyasa, could see whatever happened. Thus, he now compares the situation, as far as it can be understood, to an imaginable phenomenon, i.e. thousands of suns. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Just 1 second. We want to send this, you know, Hindi-speaking devotees to the other room for the translation.
Yeah.
So just to make an announcement.
Yeah. So, if devotees who want to hear the Hindi translation to the Bhagavad Gita,
should be spoken in Hindi. Your message should be spoken in Hindi.
Oh, then I am the wrong person.
Director, if you want to listen to Hindi, then the camera will come there. We will translate there.
So they will leave now to the room, Prabhuji?
Yeah, Prabhuji. Just only few devotees will go to other room, so that we carry on. या प्रभु जी जो भक्त लोग हिंदी में सुनना चाहते हैं प्लीज दूसरे रूम में चले जाइए प्रभु जी आप हाँ जाइए काफी सारे भक्त लोग आप जाइए प्लीज सुजन प्रभु
ओम अज्ञान
भूतले स्वयं रूपा तथा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीकृतपदवन्दनं श्रीगुरुवैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सरगणरघुनाथमितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादम् सर्गणरकाशी विशाखादिताश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Gurudev ki
jai.
We see in this verse that now Arjuna, what he saw was the universal form of the Lord. And the universal form of the Lord is the sum total of the material energy of the Lord. This is significant for us because while as devotees we are always wanting to see the pleasing form of Krishna in all his wonderful pastimes, no one really wants to see the universal form of the Lord. And the reason we don't want to see is also natural, because the universal form of the Lord represents the material energy and potency of the Lord. It is natural that as devotees we are more attracted to the internal potency of Krishna. But having said that, we should understand that there is a reason in chapter 11 why Arjuna actually got to see the universal form of the Lord. In any case, when Arjuna saw this universal form of the Lord, he realized that the form was so brilliant and so effulgent that what happened then to Arjuna was that he and Sanjaya was describing, what they were trying to describe was to describe that which could not be described. The indescribable was something that they tried very hard to describe. And this shows us one important point. The Lord is so all-powerful that we can only use material superlatives at the very most to describe what is essentially complete spirit. Because Krishna is completely transcendental, we must accept our limitations that we are unable to actually properly glorify Him. Sometimes we have this false ego that we have properly glorified Krishna. But actually, frankly, no matter what we do to try and glorify Krishna, no words can come close to His glories. That is why as devotees, our only business is to remember Bhagavatam. Uttama Shloka Vartaya. This is very important. Because only by chanting the selected shlokas from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita can we even come close to glorifying Krishna. Close because the mantras are perfect, but our hearts and attitude may not be right. So again, we may not be able to describe the indescribable. Arjuna was in a similar situation, not because he was not pure. He was completely qualified to actually glorify Arjuna. I mean to glorify Krishna. But he did so to teach us that when we are in the presence of the material energy of the Lord, even then, we always say material energy is lower energy of Krishna. But even then, when the material energy presents itself before us, we find that we are unable to even grasp the strength and the splendor of this material energy. That's why Krishna says in the second prayer of Kunti Mata, what is the second prayer? Maya Javanika Channam Ajnya Loksha Jamakriyam Narashe Mudrasa Nato Natya Haroyaka. That is why Krishna says in this verse that this curtain he has put before him, he reserves the right to do so. Because this curtain that he puts forward actually is the curtain that bewilders us. And it bewilders us because we cannot, as Krishna is describing Bhagavatam, he is beyond the limited range of sense perception. He is beyond the limited range of sense perception. Not even range. Because the fact is we are limited even in that range. This is something we have to accept. What are our four defects, Prabhu said, Matajis, that Prabhupada said? We are all prone to make mistakes. Yet, we always look at other people's mistakes. We are prone to be illusioned. Yet, we always think others should be clear in their heads. We are always ready to
cheat.
The tendency is there. Yet, when others cheat us, we are surprised. And the most important thing is, we have imperfect senses, yet we expect to live in a perfect world. Just imagine the contradiction of our lives. And all four of these defects are all coming under the sum total of the material energy of the Lord. It shows that we cannot move without a blessing. One iota of blessing and sanction of Krishna is not there, we can't. If all the lights went off and the mic went off, that's it. We can't see each other. We can't see each other. Of course, Radha Shamsundar's effulgence is there. Ladies are so beautiful. I think even if you off the lights, Prabhu, they will shine on their own opulence. But that is because their opulence is completely transcendental. It is not like us. So this material energy, Kunti Mata was correct to say, it is the curtain that blocks us. because Krishna is beyond the range of our understanding. If we don't accept that, then we will become frustrated in our material life. Why Krishna is doing this to me? Why I am in difficulty? But we don't realize that we cannot understand these things because he is beyond the range of our sense perception. That is why 6.4.29 of Srimad Bhagavatam is a very important prayer for us to remember whenever we want to approach Krishna. Because it will teach us how to handle this material energy of the Lord in the correct manner. And this prayer was chanted of all, by all persons, Daksha. Daksha is a progenitor and Prajapati. And of course, we know that just a few chapters before that, Daksha was in big trouble because he underestimated the power of his son-in-law, Lord Shiva. He forgot that Lord Shiva was directly connected to the internal potency of Krishna because he was a great devotee. And having done so, he insulted him and he had to come face to face with the entire entourage of Lord Shiva. And in the end, what happened to Daksha? He got fittingly the head of a goat because he lost his own head. Not only figuratively, but really he lost his head in trying to offend Lord Shiva. That is the truth. So, Daksha himself repents in the later verses. And in this chapter 4, he chants very nicely as opposed to 4th chapter, 4th canto where he was in difficulty. He says that, Yadya niruttam vachasa nirupitam diyakshabirva manasotayasya Ma bhut swarupam gunarupam hi tatta savai gunapaya visharga lakshana. So here, Daksha is teaching us one point. He says, anything that you express by material vibrations, anything, huh? So supposing I and Sajjan Prabhu are speaking, we are not speaking on Bhagavatam, but we are expressing with material vibrations, just talking Prajalpa. Anything that we ascertain by the material intelligence, if we use our intelligence to say, this is the reason why this is happening. Anything that is concocted by our material mind and experienced by the material senses. Anything that we concoct, we are famous for concocting. Manogatan is the most difficult obstacle for us to overcome. Because just like we have so many ideas about life, we transmit this into our spiritual life. And when nothing is there, we create something. This is the false ego. Because we cannot create the material world, we cannot create the spiritual world, we want to create our own problems. We don't realize these problems shoot us down. They don't lift us up. So in concoction, so many reasons are there. So much nonsense is there. We looked at one. Supposing now I and Radha Madhumohan Prabhu are looking at each other, we are not smiling. I'm not smiling, he's not smiling. Now he thinks and I'm thinking, why he's not smiling, why I'm not smiling. Then the next time I see him, he's smiling at me, I say, I don't want to smile. Then the next time he smiles, then I say, no, never mind, I have change of heart, I want to smile. I have smiled at him, he looks here, he looks there. Nothing happened between us. Just I was concentrating on Bhagavatam, he was concentrating on me, and we did not smile. That's all. But then Manogatan is there. Now I came to stay at Swayam Prabhu's house. Now I did not go to Sharjah. My Sharjah devotees may be thinking, why you didn't come to Sharjah? Now if I go to Sharjah next time and I say, Swayam Prabhu, I'll stay in Sharjah, Swayam Prabhu may think, why? Like that, we are all caught up in this. It is not Sharjah's problem, it is not Radha Madhavan problem, not my problem, not his problem, it is everybody's problem. At some point, the mind will tell, let us concoct. Let us find some reason. And that reason is to take us away from Krishna. It is to take us away from Krishna. And that is the material energy of the Lord. Material energy of the Lord is so powerful that it has capacity to take us away. So anything that you concoct with your mind, that you experience with your senses, that you express with your material vibrations, and that you ascertain with your material intelligence, ma, not na, na means no, but ma is double no. Ma bhut swarupam, right? Hi gunarupam, no, gunarupam hi tatta. That means definitely it has nothing to do with Krishna. Daksha makes it very clear. So anytime Prabhu and Matajis, we use our material intelligence, material senses, material concoctions, and we use our material vibrations not for the glorification of Krishna, that activity has nothing to do with Krishna. And the moment it has nothing to do with Krishna, then it actually drags us into this material world. Why? because the real nature of Krishna is that he is beyond this creation. He is the source of all the qualities, and he is therefore Visarga Lakshana. He is completely auspicious. So we should not mix, as Maharaj said, the dirt with the clean place. This is very important. When there is a clean place, automatically we maintain it clean. But when there is dirty place, we don't want to clean it because we think let it be dirty. This material energy is so powerful, it has capacity to make us forget Krishna. Yet it is coming from Krishna. But Krishna did not create this material energy in universal form for his benefit. He actually created it because we desired to be separate from him. This is the other point we must remember. Maharaj says, don't blame Krishna for material energy. At some point of our lives, many, many lives ago, we desired to be separate from Krishna. We desired to be material. So Krishna gave us all facilities to be in material energy. That is why we cannot describe material energy. That is why it is very famous. What is that famous verse, Prabhu? Prithvi renuranu payam sikanitaha falgus pulingo lagus tejo nishvasvanam maritanutaram randram sushukshvam nabaha shudra rudra pita mahapavritaha Kita samasta suraha Drishte yatra satarako vijayate Shripada duli kanaha. This is Kulashekar Alva, and Maharaj likes this verse very much because he says if we really want to understand the true indescribable potency of material energy, we must remember how powerful Krishna is, as chanted by Kulashekar Alva. Because here Kulashekar Alva says, the moment our Savior is seen, the moment we take darshan of Krishna, then we have to understand something about this material energy of His. This entire earth, which is so huge, just imagine, we are sitting in this hall, it is so big. How big is this earth? But in front of Krishna, it is a speck of dust. Then the Alva says, Kulashekar Maharaj then says, the oceans around the world, how big and how great they are. When we sit in a boat and we're in the ocean, we can't imagine how powerful and deep the ocean is. We'll be consumed. Yet, in front of Krishna, the ocean is like a droplet. Not a drop, but a droplet. Just a droplet. Then he says, the fire in this material world, which will consume this material universe, is so powerful, it will rage for thousands and thousands of years. Yet, in front of Krishna, this fire is like a spark. That's all. It has no value, just like a spark which has left the main fire, it will die. It will die. These winds, you know, when the winds blow, it is so powerful, they come just like hurricanes and typhoons. But in front of Krishna, it just becomes like a faint sigh. That's it. In front of Krishna, they are reduced to just a faint sigh. This great vast expanse of sky that we see, in front of Krishna, it is like a pinprick, like navel, you know. There's a small depression in the navel. That's all. Nothing else. Nothing else. The great demigods and the great celestial beings of this universe, in front of Krishna, they are nothing, just like insects. They are born today and they die in the night. Just kita samasta suraha. Just like insects. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, the greatest of the demigods, they are just bowing before Krishna. They are like servants, insignificant before the Lord. Finally, Kulashekar Alva ends by saying, one particle of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord can conquer all these aspects of His material creation and material energy. Just one aspect of His dust. So how powerful must Krishna be? And how powerful must be that form that Arjuna saw? We speak so much of Krishna in His transcendental form, but we ignore the fact that material energy is so powerful that we cannot play a fool with it. This is the lesson we have to understand. And having understood that point, Arjuna could understand that the effulgence of the Lord was so great that Arjuna became fearful. He did not hope that he could surmount the material energy of the Lord. we will be foolish to think that we can do that. Why? Because Krishna himself in 7.14 says very nicely, Dhaivi yesha gunamayi, mama maya duradhyaya. Therefore, mam eva ye prapadyante, maya etam tarantite. Krishna says very clearly, this energy of mine, which is consisting of the three modes of material nature, which is the material energy of the Lord, it is very difficult to overcome. Very difficult to overcome. Take it from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhus and Matajis. If he says it's difficult, it is difficult. Arjuna proved it here. He could not even describe it. He could not describe it. It is that difficult. So if it is difficult, the only way to surmount it, Krishna says, is not to look for the solutions in this material energy, because you'll be caught by the web. This www is there, isn't it? No, it is always said www.net.sg, whatever. So Maharaj said www means? What does it mean?
Prabhu? Want very
mean. Yes, we start by wanting something in material energy of the Lord. But we are frustrated because material energy is so powerful it consumes us. After wanting something, we never get it. Then what happens, Prabhu?
We worry.
Because we think, will we get it, will we not get it, will we get it, will we not. But definitely we won't get it. Because whatever we want never comes in the way we want. And if it comes, it will consume us. Even though we think we are free and we have conquered it. So what is the end result of all that?
We weep.
And in this weeping, we go to the internet, Maharaj says, we chat. We try to spend some time finding some way to find some way out of this net. But we don't realize. I remember what Radhanath Maharaj always said. World Wide Web. See, it is a web. It will catch you. Then Maharaj said, it's internet. It is a net. It will catch you. So he's right. In www, there is a web. In internet, there is net. So what is material energy of Krishna telling us? There is a net. There is a web. You will want, you will worry, you will end up weeping. So you will end up frustrated if you try to surmount this material energy of Krishna by trying to exploit it. Duryodhana and gang wanted to exploit the material energy of the Lord. So how did they try to do that? They tried to conquer the kingdom and utilize everything in their enjoyment. Are we any different from the Kauravas? As devotees, we have to be very careful. We may say we are devotees. I have come here only to glorify Krishna. If that is the real reason, then we are very, very safe from the material energy of the Lord. It cannot touch us in this house. But the moment we come here because we want to be glorified, or because we are having a good time on a Friday night and we have nowhere else to go, or because we have done so much pap from Monday to Thursday, Friday better come and pray, Krishna, please relieve me of everything. If we think that this is a social gathering because this is the best place to meet other people, get married, find people. In Singapore, you know, we had one devotee. He came for the temple program 6 weeks in a row, started chanting. I asked him, Prabhu, what is your inspiration to take up devotional service so seriously? He said, Prabhu, I want to get married. So I said, are you praying to get married? No, I'm coming here because many young Matajis are here. Where else to find a decent girl but in a temple congregation? So I thought, yeah, he has a point, you know. But what to tell him, you know? Then it so happened there was one Mataji who came to the temple. And she was talking to Radhika and me. And when we asked her, Mataji, why are you so inspired? She said, I've come here to find a good boy to get married. And true enough, Krishna made them meet in the temple. They got married. And after thanking Krishna, we never saw them again. And 3 years later, both called me separately to ask me if I could do their divorce. You know, because I'm doing family matters. So I'm the expert on divorce in Singapore. Every time devotees want to break, they come to me. And when I ask them, why me? They say, never mind. At least spiritualize our divorce. Madness, you know. So whatever we want for material energy, we couch it. We say, actually I'm coming to glorify Krishna. But deep inside, there's always some desire to exploit. The moment we accept that, then we lose the desire to exploit. If we don't accept it, we will never lose that desire. This is a point that is very important. And one personality who showed us how powerful material energy is, how indescribable it is Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi in 12th canto of Bhagavatam was a very, very powerful personality. He was so powerful, Prabhus and Matajis, that he was the only one who lived through an entire day of Brahma. Huh? Just imagine, I think it's about 4,200,000,000,000 years. One whole day of Brahma he lived through. And when the day of Brahma finished, and Pralaya had done its work and everyone had been finished, Markandeya Rishi resumed in the next day of Brahma, in the same form. So Saunaga Rishi, you know, asks these questions, you know. And Suta Goswami replies how great he was. He was a saint, he was a great sage who was celibate from life. From day of his birth he was celibate. Naishtika Brahmachari. He left everything and he assumed total austerities in the Pushpabhadra riverside near Himalayas. And there he observed austerities for millions of years. Millions of years. And at the end of all his austerity, he passed through six millenniums, six kalpas, six manvantaras, continuously remembering the personality of Godhead. When he came to the seventh manvantara, Bhagavatam tells us, Indra became a bit worried. You know, normally Indra becomes a bit worried when there's a powerful living entity somewhere in the world who is capable of becoming king of Swargaloka, because he thinks he's going to be usurped. So in the 12th canto, Indra became a bit concerned. So then he decided, better stop his austerities. Let's send my gang. My gang means Cupid and all the Apsaras. Let them go down and distract Markandeya Rishi. So in Bhagavatam 12th canto is a beautiful picture, you know, of Markandeya Rishi sitting down and Cupid just flying around with all the Apsaras trying to distract him. They tried everything. He shot the arrow at him. Everything they tried to distract Markandeya Rishi from his meditation on the Lord, but they were unsuccessful. In fact, the power of his austerity started burning Cupid. And Cupid thought, I've been burned once by Lord Shiva, let me not be burned again. So he and his gang decided better go back and report our failure to Indra. So Indra became very pleased and the demigods became very pleased. They bestowed blessings on Markandeya Rishi and Krishna became so pleased. He came as Naranarayana Rishi and he blessed Markandeya Rishi. And when Markandeya Rishi saw him and saw the Lord as Naranarayana Rishi, he said some wonderful prayers. But at the end of the prayer, the Lord asked him, do you have something you want? And Markandeya Rishi said, Lord, I have heard so much about your material energy, your illusory energy. Now, I want to see it. Can you please show me how powerful this is? So Lord said, all right. And he smiled and he vanished. So thereafter, Bhagavatam tells us, Markandeya Rishi sat on the shores of the river and he prayed very hard to Krishna and performed his daily activities, waiting for the day when the illusory energy will come. And that day came. One day as he sat down to perform his austerities, Bhagavatam tells us, a great wind rose from all directions. As the wind rose, there was a terrible sound. And then immediately fearsome clouds started going above the heads of Markandeya Rishi and the other inhabitants. The clouds became so dark that there was darkness throughout the entire Himalayas region. Then lightnings and thunder came in great sound. And as the lightning and thunder came, then torrents of rain started coming down. The rain came down, the rains were as heavy, Bhagavatam says, as the wheels of a wagon. Can you imagine how powerful the rains were? And they were hitting the earth so powerfully that they were creating an uproar. As Markandeya Rishi sat down and thought, what is happening to this world? He began to see on all four sides of him, all the four great oceans of the world were rising. The waters were rising, that they completely inundated the entire Himalayas region. The surface of the earth was completely inundated. Markandeya Rishi and all the devotees and all the inhabitants were swimming aimlessly. But the sea and the rain never stopped. Bhagavatam tells us that rain went up and up and up. It covered all the mountains of the world. It touched the sky of the world and it covered the entire planet. And then it began to cover the entire universe with all the planets. And for millions of years, Markandeya Rishi was the only man surviving in that dark world. There were sea monsters he had to fight with. Sometimes he thought he would die. Sometimes he cried. Sometimes he experienced lamentation, grief, pain, fear, all at one time. And all that time he was perplexed. What is happening to this world? Where am I going? When will this stop? Sometimes he swam and swam until he lost all strength. And one day in this condition, as he was going to give up all hope of continuing, far away, he saw a small island. And on that island he saw a beautiful banyan tree. And on that beautiful banyan tree, he saw on one of the leaves of that tree, he saw a most beautiful bluish colored boy. And this boy was like a baby. And as he looked at Markandeya Rishi, and Markandeya Rishi immediately felt one thing. He felt that all the pain and lamentation that he had in his heart was completely vanished. He became completely relieved. Material energy was all around him. But just by seeing Krishna, he became relieved. And the moment he came closer to see who is this bluish, beautiful boy, the boy opened his mouth and he inhaled. As he inhaled, Markandeya Rishi found himself going into the mouth of the boy like a mosquito. And the moment he entered inside this boy, what did he find? He found that the entire universe as it was before this terrible time was exactly as it was. He saw the earth, he saw the mountains, he saw the seas, he saw all the inhabitants, he saw how Brahmaji was creating, he saw how secondary creation was coming, how the Lord had created primary creation, he saw everything. He saw India, he saw Himalayas, and he saw himself sitting before Pushpabhadra River doing his oblations. And just when he thought, how can this be happening inside the body of a child, the child exhaled. And out he came like another mosquito. And the moment he came out, he was thrown back into the waters. And again he tried very hard to see this child. And he could just see the smile of the child. And then he saw it was darkness all around. And at that point of time, the moment he opened his eyes in all that water, he found that he was seated on the banks of the shores of Pushpabhadra River. And the sun was shining. Everything was peaceful. No waters was around. No timingalas. No great white shark. No whales, nothing to kill him, and he was peacefully performing his devotional activities. And then Markandeya Rishi realized that whole episode was the power of the material energy of the Lord. It was so powerful that even the great devotee and mystic like him could become bewildered. What to speak of us? So the point we must understand finally is this, that when we come to understand the material energy of the Lord, we should be very careful not to test it. Not our business is not to be in material energy of Krishna. Our business is to offer material energy of Krishna back to Krishna. Utilize it in His favor. What you all are doing is doing exactly that, Prabhus and Matajis. You have all come from your time spent in the material world and you are sitting here today to hear about the spiritual world. This mic has no value. It could be in a seminar, earning money. But now it is being used for us to hear the glories of Krishna. This beautiful house, which could have been like a palace, could have been used by Swayam Prabhu simply for his sense gratification. But he has opened it up purely because he is using material energy as a humble offering to Radha Shamsundar. And because of that, he is not in anxiety, he is completely free. And that is how Markandeya Rishi realized is the path to freedom. That we should always remember that the only way is what Krishna says in 7.14 of Bhagavad Gita. We must surrender what we have to the Lord. Here the Lord says, one who has surrendered unto me can easily cross this ocean. Sometimes we think, what is this concept of surrender? But Maharaj made it very simple. He said, surrender what that which is precious to you, you give to Krishna. That which you are rejecting, you please keep. It's perfect. Because that which you reject is very easy to look like donation. Prabhu, you know, this cabinet of mine, you know, I kept it many years, but now there's no need. You know, you please take it. It's great sacrifice. But the truth is, it's in shambles. You don't want it. Or you bought a brand new one, you don't want to tell anyone, you have to get rid of this. That way, the real pinch of surrender comes when you perform service which is not to your liking. But that service which you hate, if you do it for Krishna, that is surrender. If you love to sing Kirtan, everyone tells you, please sing Kirtan, and you sing Kirtan. And if you sing it for your sense gratification, then you are in material energy. If you do nice class and say, I'm giving nice class, now everyone clap. Everyone must tell me before they leave how wonderful a class I gave. Then you are in material energy. But if you do the service that you hate, Prabhuji, I'm not inclined, I don't know how to do, but since you asked me, it is for the pleasure of the Lord, I will try my best. Then Krishna doesn't see your result. He sees your effort. He sees the essence of your devotional mentality, Prabhupada writes. Nothing else. If your result is good, your motive is bad, Krishna will just take your result and forget about your motive. If your motive is very good, result is bad, Krishna will ignore your result and he will take your motive. Either way, Krishna gives you mercy. The question is, are we using what we have, which is precious for us, for Krishna? You are using your time. You could be anywhere now, Prabhu and Matajis. On a Friday night in Abu Dhabi, you could be anywhere. But you have come together because you want to use that time for Krishna. Of course, Radha Shyam Sundar will reciprocate with you. That is why your faces are smiling. Nobody is waiting when he will stop. Of course, if you wait for me to stop because of prasadam, I'm happy. But apart from that, no one is thinking, why this, why that? Brahmaji showed us that example. He, remember at the start, he had no one to turn to. Born from the lotus stem of the flower, as Aja, unborn. He didn't know where to go, but he heard in his heart, Tapa, Tapa, Tapa. And he knew that was a dictation of his Supreme Lord. What did he do? He followed that instruction very simply. And with great penance and great austerity, he performed that act for 1,000 years. And the end of it, Krishna came and gave him full realization. Now we may say, Prabhuji, we don't have 1,000 years. It's true. All the more reason why the austerities must start now. He had the luxury of 1,000 years. We don't. We don't. And some of us may think, after all that prayer, how is it going to help us in our lives? I tell you, from the pages of Bhagavatam, when you have time, you go and read 3rd canto, 10th chapter, 56 verse. Not 56, I think it's 5-6. 5 and 6. Somewhere there. Over there, in that verse, it ends what we started. In the beginning, from chapter 3, text 9, and chapter 9, all the prayers of Krishna, of Brahmaji for creative energy are there. Krishna, please help me. All the beautiful prayers are there. At the end of the prayer, Krishna responds. He comes, he shakes the hand of the Lord, and he blesses his devotee. Whatever you want from me has been granted before. You just continue now. So now Brahmaji is left to create the secondary creation. How are all the blessings going to help him? That's the question we are asking. And in that chapter, in 3.10.6, here Prabhupada translates beautifully. Prabhupada says, the moment Krishna vanished, Brahmaji had to start his work. What did he do? All the years of penance and transcendental knowledge of self-realization had matured Brahma. It had matured Brahma in practical knowledge. So what did Brahma do? The winds were all around him. Nothing had been settled. The waters were still dark. So what did he do? With transcendental knowledge, Bhagavatam tells us, he swallowed the winds first. And after having swallowed the winds, of course don't ask me how, because I don't know how to swallow wind. Only Brahma knows how to swallow wind. He swallowed the wind completely. And the moment he swallowed the wind, he found that there was peace enough for him to start creating, even while the waters were subsiding. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, this is the proof that if you take up the spiritual energy of the Lord on the platform of penance, long penance and transcendental knowledge, then Krishna will reveal in your heart how to act with the material energy in such a way that you will please him. In the same way, when we go to work, we are thinking how to solve the work problems with Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam will show you. Bhagavatam through Krishna will tell you, oh, in this management I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this. Where is all this knowledge coming from? Krishna is giving you that practical knowledge. And Bhagavatam has proven it in 3rd canto, 10th chapter, after a full chapter of beautiful prayers. So please, Prabhus and Matajis, the one important point we must take from this verse is this. Always remember, you must put penance, there must be austerity, and there must be study of Bhagavatam for us to come to the stage of Brahmaji. If you sacrifice for devotional service will sacrifice for you. As Maharaj always told us, if you neglect your rounds will neglect you. If you neglect your chanting, chanting neglects you. In the same way, if we neglect the transcendental service to Krishna, then we will be caught in the material energy of the Lord. We cannot come out of it. And the evidence of the material energy is what Swayam Prabhu shared with me today. This very important verse from 1514, right Prabhuji? Yeah. Of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tato vanyata kinchana yad vivechataha pritak कृतरूप नाम भी न कर्हि चेत् क्वापि च दुष्टिता मतिः लाभेत वाता हतनौ इवास्पदम्. Anything that you desire to describe, which is separate from the vision of the Lord, will somehow or another react with different names, forms, and it will only cause one thing in our hearts, agitation of the mind. Just like a boat which is not anchored will definitely be agitated by the waves. In the same way, we will become agitated. So this is the point we must understand. The last point in this verse that we should speak on is very simple. If you read the verse, you'll find neither Sanjaya nor Dhritarashtra were present to see the universal form. But what is interesting is, Sanjaya not being present, he could see. He could see the universal form of the Lord. He could see. And Dhritarashtra could not see. He could only hear Sanjaya. He could not see, not because he was physically blind, but because spiritually also he was blind. Sanjaya's wonderful example, Mahabharat tells us, is that Sanjaya was given the blessings of his guru Vyas Bhagavan. Vyas Bhagavan is the one, here you see, but Sanjaya by the grace of Vyasa could see whatever happened. That's why when Maharaj took this purport, he zoomed in on this point. He said this purport is important because Sanjaya could see, not because of anything, but because by the grace of Vyas Bhagavan, he could see everything that was happening on the battlefield between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee. That is why it is stated that by the grace of the spiritual master, the lame man can walk. He can climb over mountains. The blind man can see. This grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given through the agency of the spiritual master. If you don't have the blessings of Vaishnavas, then we cannot advance in spiritual life. And Vaishnavas, Prabhus and Mataji just doesn't mean our Diksha Guru. It means every Guru who is Siksha to us, who has taught us the value of devotional service. Every devotee next to you is a pure devotee. Maharaj always told us this. Whenever we were asked him, Maharaj, how to know who's pure devotee? Then only we can serve him. Maharaj said, rascal, except for you, everyone else is pure devotee. So this is a good point for us to understand. This is how we attract the grace of the Lord. When the Lord sees that we are very loving and faithful and obedient to all the devotees around us, then Lord becomes very pleased. Such a gentle disciple is truly deserving of the full mercy of the Lord. And that is what the sages in Naimisharanya, when they spoke to Saumya, when they spoke to Saunaka Rishi, and they spoke to him, they told him actually, why his qualification is there. It is in 118 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vetatvam saumyatat sarvam tadvatastat anugraha bru, is it bru? Yeah, bru jasrikdasya sishyasya guruvo guyam api utaha. And the translation is very nice. Oh great, they say, you know, that they praised very much. They said that because you are submissive to your spiritual master, he has endowed you with all the favors that must be bestowed upon a gentle disciple. And therefore, you are the person who is fully qualified to now speak on Bhagavatam. And the point Maharaj brought up in this verse is, a devotee who is submissive to his spiritual master will automatically be endowed with all favors befitting a gentle disciple. Meaning to say, the greatest favor the spiritual master can bestow on you is to carry you over this ocean of birth and death, this ocean of material energy, to cross over to the path of spiritual energy. That's why Maharaj always told me, sometimes I felt very discouraged about the lack of my devotional service, and Maharaj very kindly always told me, Devaki, for good or for bad, you and I are on the same ship. The only difference is, I happen to be the captain. Now if you accept me as the captain, then only when I give you permission to get off the ship, are you going to get off. Until then, you stay on the ship. You just weather the storm with me, and we will reach the other shores. And I thought that was such a beautiful, graphic way of the spiritual master telling his disciple who's errant, how just follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And by his grace, like Vyas Bhagwan became gracious to Sanjaya, we will also be able to take the darshan of the great Lord. We will also then be able to have the eyes to be able to see, to divide, to discriminate matter from spirit, and not exploit this material energy, but to use it in Krishna's favor. This revelation was not due to an ounce of envy in Sanjaya. Sanjaya just became the perfect wire medium for his teacher, Vyas Bhagwan. That's why he could see the spiritual television was there. But we end by remembering that Dhritarashtra did not have this. He had two disqualifications. One was his name. His name itself, you know, was a disqualification, Maharaj says. Dhritarashtra simply means that he, Dhrita means fixed. He was really fixed, but he was fixed on his assets. He was fixed on his land. At the end of his life also, when everything was gone, the Kauravas were decimated, no dignity was left, he wanted to sit on his throne. Just so that he felt he was a king. That disqualified him from having the vision to see Krishna. Sanjaya had eyes, but how could he see what was happening thousands of miles away? Because he had spiritual eyes. Dhritarashtra had no eyes, but if he was submissive, Krishna would have given him the eyes to see what was happening. But because he was full of envy, which is the other disqualification, he was not able to see what was happening on the battlefield, but he was only able to hear what was happening to the Kauravas and the teachings of the Lord. And despite hearing the teachings of the Lord after Bhagavad Gita, did Dhritarashtra change? Up to that point, he did not change. Because in follow-up to Bhagavatam, you find he wanted to maintain his place. Only when Vidura, another pure devotee of the Lord, came and sat him down and then spoke to him, then his heart melted. And finally, by the grace of the Lord, he attained the break from the material cycle of birth and death. We don't have the luxury of Dhritarashtra. We do not have that, Maharaj says. Because our time is coming, Prabhus and Matajis. Most of us will not live for the next 10, 20 years. Not more than that. Most of us won't. Even our younger ones, we have no guarantee. We have no guarantee when our younger ones will live. Is it not better now to start remembering how Sanjaya could see Krishna and take the grace of Guru by following his instructions 100%, without prajalpa, without concoctions? Then we become safe, we become pure, we become happy. If you want to know what Kapila Dev said in his chapters of 3rd canto, 32nd verse, no, 3rd canto, 32nd chapter, in the verses from 39, 40, 41 up to 42, he warns Devahuti Mata, whatever instructions I have given you on the spiritual energy of the Lord, you can speak about it, you can share it, but please remember, these instructions can never be spoken to at least 8 different kinds of people. And we must be very careful as we conclude this verse today to make sure that we don't fall into the categories of these 8 persons. The first, he said, these instructions cannot be spoken to the envious. Those who are envious will never receive submissively the instructions of Krishna. If you are envious of each other, then forget Krishna. Because Krishna accepts that you are envious of him. The agnostics, those who don't want to believe the strength of the Lord and the Supreme Being. Those who are unclean in behavior. Unclean means immoral. What is immorality? Highest morality is to follow Krishna's law. Immorality is not to follow Krishna's law. That is unclean behavior, Maharaj said. The fourth is to be hypocrites. We say, very nice, Prabhu, you are very great, Prabhu, you sing very nice, you do very nice. But inside you are hopeless, you are rascal. I know your true character, you are not nice. Oh, but Prabhu, you speak very well, you are very nice. This is hypocrisy. This hypocrisy cannot take us anywhere. Proud of our material possessions. When we believe that we have made it, then we come to temple. Somewhere along the line, we try to tell the devotees in an indirect way, you know, actually I am rich. Actually I have this, I have that. Maybe we drop our phone and everyone say, hey Prabhu, you got a nice phone. You know, oh, I dropped it accidentally. Maybe you drop a line to say, you know something Prabhuji, I just was thinking of buying this house or that car. You know, oh, you're very good. And you know they're hearing that. And you just want that because you want everyone to know how proud, how great you are. This disqualifies us. too greedy, attached to family life. This is dangerous for devotees. In the name of family life, we say we are spiritual. In the name of being spiritual, we say we have no family. But both are wrong. Because the truth of the matter is, very often family becomes an extension of our false ego. If supposing one Mataji has a child, and child is not behaving, making so much noise, then another devotee comes and tells, child, please keep quiet. Mataji may feel insulted. What right do you have to keep my child quiet? Man, you did not discipline your child. What do you expect others to do? They have to do something. That way we become very, very pained in our heart when someone says, your son is not up to the standard. We don't accept it constructively. Rather we say, oh, why are you saying this? It's not true. Because Prabhupada says it is an extension of our ego. That engrossment in family life will kill us. Last two points. The non-devotees, they cannot accept the instructions of the Lord. And Maharaj said very simple definition for non-devotees. Those who are not ready to accept Lord's teachings, who are not loving with the devotees, they are not devotees. Simple as that. And the last point, those who are envious of devotees and Krishna. In the beginning, he says envious. But there is envious of everyone. In the last point, he emphasizes those who are envious of devotees and the Lord. These instructions of the Lord will forever be lost. So we have to avoid these things. And the practical way is, we are surrounded by material energy. Never test material energy. Remember Markandeya Rishi. Such a great personality was tested. He passed. We are tested. We'll fail. And always remember what Maharaj said. Always accept that you are failure in the material world. But never become spiritually bankrupt. That is very important. If you become materially very successful and you are spiritually bankrupt, then you are finished. Don't ever say, I'm so busy in my work that I have no time to chant and read. That is the highest point of material energy coming down on you. And at that point of time, you will think, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. The day will come, I will chant. But Prabhu said, Mataji, you know, and I know, that day never comes. It never comes. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
Jai.
Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Tai Gaur.
Hari Hari
Bol.
Are there any questions, any comments that Prabhu's Matajis would like to bring up? We can take one. If it is not there, then I assume two things. When there are no questions, only two things can happen. One, everyone has accepted everything totally in their hearts. And two, everyone has rejected everything that was spoken because it doesn't make any sense. I like to think the first one is correct. Because you're all wonderful devotees. Thank you so much, Prabhu and Matajis. Please remember one thing. Devotional service is razor's edge. You know what is the meaning of razor's edge? We use it so often. In one purport, Prabhupada said, when the man is shaving, right? As he's shaving, what happens? He's shaving very nicely. Cheeks are going nice. But the moment his attention is diverted for an instant from his shaving, he will cut. It will cut. And the moment it cuts, we have no one to blame except for the lack of our attention. Similarly, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the moment our attention is diverted away from Krishna, bhakti and devotional service, we are going to cut ourselves. We are not going to cut anyone else. And as Sajjan Prabhu just said next to me, this will create havoc in our own lives and it will affect others also. So please remember this point. It is a razor's edge. We must take this very, very seriously. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
What do we do now, Prabhuji?
Kirtan.
So our mood for Kirtan, Prabhu's Mataji, is just to pray to Radha Shamsundar to always keep us engaged in devotional service. Never to fight and always to cooperate. If we have this mood, we will be safe. Otherwise, we are in trouble.
Whose kartal is this? Nimai, whose kartal is this? You got from here? Okay, your kartal? Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, 2 tails of kartal.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare liked it because he said that it will invoke the auspicious presence of Krishna. Somehow or another, just being with everyone makes us remember Maharaj more. And wherever Maharaj is, whatever service he has now taken, because Maharaj could never sit still, you know, he always had to serve Krishna. May he be pleased with all our offerings to him. May he be pleased that somehow or another we try very hard to please him. Because the separation from him, if we are not in devotional service, is unbearable. So let us pray very hard. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. hare ram 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 hare hare
krishna 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 hare
Yeah.
Remember, we are dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. If you want to have a good time to dance, that's good. But we may be missing out on Krishna. So please, it's good to dance, good to sing, but it's good to remember why we are dancing and why we are singing. So Prabhu, keep the Vrindavan going. Don't stop. Don't have too many in-between beats. The Ganga should be simple, just straightforward.
जय राधा रमन हरि राओ जय राधा रमन हरि
Thank you.
Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ji Ki
Jai
Jai Shri Shri Gaurita Ji Ki
Jai
Jai Shri Shri Radha Nilamala
Jai
Jai Shri Shri Rukmi Gaurdavi Ji Ki
Jai
Jai Shri Shri Radha Kunja Vihari Ji Ki
Jai
Jai Narasimha Bhagwan Ki
Jai
Shri Panchatattvati
Jai
Shri Prabhupadati
Jai
Shri Shri Guru Paramparati
Jai
Shri Gurudevati Ananta Gaudi Vaishnavati Jitai Guru Prema
Hari Hari Bol
Jai Shri Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu Matajis, for your time. And we hope to see you again, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu Ji and Madhavi. So we should all thank His Grace Devaki Prabhu for being with us and spending His valuable time and money just for our benefit. And in fact, simply thankfulness is not enough. We should have some gratitude. We should express our gratitude towards Devaki Prabhu. And the best way to express our gratitude is that we try to pick up the messages what He has given from the Bhagavatam and from Guru Maharaj. He has done His part by being with us, by giving the message of Guru Maharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam. So now it's up to us and what we want to do. Do we want to take it up or not? If we don't take it up, Devaki Prabhu is not going to lose it. But one thing sure, with His service, Maharaj is very much pleased, and if we don't follow Devaki Prabhu's message, which is ultimately, it's the Maharaj message, Srimad Bhagavatam message, then we won't be able to please Krishna and Krishna and Guru Maharaj. So we again thank Devaki Prabhu very much, and we again chant 3 times Hare Krishna Mahamantra and pray to Krishna that Krishna give him more and more strength to serve the mission of Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. And Prabhuji, tomorrow morning we have the Bhagavatam class, Christ Grace Devaki Prabhu, at Radha Dhamma, the Prabhu's house, which is, I think most of the devotees they know, it's on the Hamdan Street, yeah, most of the devotees they know. So the timing is at 8 o'clock, tomorrow morning 8 o'clock. And tomorrow evening, we have again Krishna Katha and Krishna at our His Grace Vasudev Krishna Prabhu's house. The program will start at 7 o'clock. Yeah, we start at 7 o'clock so that we finish early. And the location, Prabhuji will explain the location. But before I hand over to him, today's prasadam is sponsored by our His Grace Rishikesh Prabhu. And the good news is that his daughter has got a baby girl this early morning when the Bhagavatam class was going on.
Haribo!
We should all congratulate His Grace Rishikesh Prabhu and pray to Radha Shyam Sundar that the new baby girl should become a very nice Krishna devotee.
Haribo!
Just Prabhuji, you announce the location of her. Our location is
Maharaj.
डिफेंस रोड पर अल रहमानी बिल्डिंग है जो कंस्ट्रक्शन मटेरियल के लिए बहुत मशहूर है, उसी बिल्डिंग में 403 इट इज ऑलमोस्ट एग्जैक्टली डायरेक्टली अपोजिट टू दुबई टैक्स सिस्टम नेक्स्ट टू लैम्बोर्गिनी कार शो
डिवोटी के नाम के लिए फॉर वन नेम फॉर द बेबी गर्ल
सभी भक्तों से निवेदन है कि कृपया जब आप बाहर जाएं तो अपने सर पे तिलक ना हो और जाएं तो थोड़ा कंट्रोल में जाएं, नीचे खड़े रहकर कोई बातचीत मत कीजिएगा।
टुमारो मॉर्निंग
सबके लिए प्रसाद मॉर्निंग सभी है प्रसाद है, एक एक प्रसाद का पैकेट आप लेके जाएं
जरूरत है।
तो जिस किसी भी भक्त का ये फोटोग्राफ है वो आके यहाँ से मेरे से कलेक्ट कर सकते हैं। Somebody has lost this photograph in the ecstatic kirtan. So anyone whom this photo belongs?
Even if to sign the जिसका नाम महाराज रवि रखे
नाम संकीर्तन दास करुणा चरण गोरेगा लिस्ट और मुरली मनोहर दास विराट एक किसी भक्त का फोटो यहाँ पे मिला है, तो जिस किसी भक्त का हो आप ले
जाइए।
Prabhu, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for all the sadhu sangha.
मुझे